single day is considered to be guilty of blasphemous behavior. It's an act of blasphemy. You're not permitted to go ahead and say Hallel b'chol yom on a daily basis. On the other hand, there's another statement that says Yehi chelkim gomri Hallel b'chol yom. Let my chelik be with those who say Hallel every single day, which seems to be an outright contradiction. On the one hand, the Gemara says one who desires to say Hallel daily is guilty of blasphemy. On the other hand, the Gemara says that let my chelik be with those who say Hallel every day. It's an outright stira. Shabbos. What daf? Kuf Yud Ches. You'd have to look it up, seriously. Maybe it's Kuf Yud Ches. I don't remember, honestly. please. Midvash Sheker Tirchak. Anyway, so the Gemara answers the question by making the following statement. The Gemara says, one statement refers to the Hallel, which is known as Hallel HaMitzri. Hallel HaMitzri, of course, refers to which Hallel? The one that we say on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. That's the Hallel, which, of course, more or less describes Hashem and His glory in terms of all the Nisim, Gluyim, that Hashem performed for Klal Yisrael, B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, B'tzeis Yaakov Mi'am Lo'eh, Yisrael Yisrael Yudah L'Kotcho, Yisrael Mam Shalosav, Hayom Rav, Hayonos, Hayarden Yisrael Diochar, Hehorim Roktu Chielim, the mountains are prancing, Givol's Kibnei Tzon. So that is what that Gemara is referring to. And the Gemara says that anyone who says Hallel every day, Harezim Mecharefim Megadev, that refers to that Hallel, which is called Hallel HaMitzri. The Hallel that is specifically designated for when? For Yom Tovim, for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and the like. However, the other Hallel, which is praiseworthy, what the Gemara says, it is desirous of a person to say that Hallel every day, Yi Chelkim Gomri Hallel V'chal Yom, refers to which Hallel? The Hallel known as Pesukei D'Zimra. The Hallel relating to Pesukei D'Zimra, we say it every day, correct? So where does Pesukei D'Zimra begin? Begins with which Tvila? Baruch She'amar is essentially the opening to Pesukei D'Zimra. Where does it end? Pesukei D'Zimra with Yishtabach. And the three main components of Pesukei D'Zimra, of course, are Baruch She'amar, Asher, Yishtabach. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in Mishkan Es Yaakov, who says that even if a person is going to skip davening, you cannot skip those three components. They must be said. Baruch Shema, Asher, Yishtabach, and then you go on to Birchos Kriyas Shema. The Sfardim, by the way, what's their position? The Mechaber Pasans, which is the Rambam Shita, that you've come late, so what do? You start with Birchos Kriyas Shema. You can skip the entire Pesukei D'Zimra, because essentially Pesukei D'Zimra, the Rambam calls it Vishivchu Chachamim. It's a Midas Chasidus to say Pesukei D'Zimra. So the reason why I'm introducing this Mizmor Lamed with Pesukei D'Zimra with the Gemara and Shabbos is because obviously, as we'll see in a moment, this particular Mizmor would seem to be, is this, by the way, part of Pesukei D'Zimra? You just told me Pesukei D'Zimra begins with Yishtabach. And when do we say Mizmor Shechanukas, at least the Ashkenazim? When do the Ashkenazim say it? They say right before Baruch Shem. What about Tzvardim? When do they say Mizmor Shir? I'm sorry? When? Do Tzvardim say Mizmor Shechanukas Vayis David? No. Tzvardim have not included it Bechlal in their liturgy. Except when the Sfardim say Mizmor Shechanukas Abayis David, if you look actually in Masechah Sofrim, you will notice over there, it's not over here actually, in front of you, but when is this said? I think even Sfardim say it then as well, if I'm not mistaken, and I believe that not only do Sfardim say it then, Ashkenazim say it then, those who follow the Gros say it then, which specific day is this said, Mizmor Shechanukas? According to some, it's even the Shir, the Mizmor of that particular, shall we say, holiday. Which holiday is that? Chanukah, correct. Sfardim say it on Chanukah. And even those who follow Minhag Yagro, here in SSL, it's the Shir Shal Yom. Every day of Chanukah is Mizmor Shir Chanukah Savayis Lovin. You're aware of the fact that the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, he has a very unique setup as far as the Shir Shal Yom. For example, what does he say on Rosh Chodesh? Were you attentive this morning? Baruchi Nafshi is the Mizmor, the Shir Shayom of Rosh Chodesh according to the Vilna Gaon. What do generally Ashkenazim say on Monday Rosh Chodesh? The Mizmor of Monday. Is that not correct? However, the Gaon does not do that. He says the Baruchi Nafshi is the proper Mizmor. And that needs a separate Shir, why the Gaon has his own, shall we say, his own Marechet regarding the Mizmor. However, I'm going to ask you, since Michael, you indicated that you say this on Chanukah, pray tell, could you tell me Ma HaKesher Ben HaMizmor HaZeh LeChanukah? What's the connection between this Mizmor and Chanukah? With the exception of one pasuk. Which pasuk is that? What do you say? You're right. With the exception of the first pasuk, there's absolutely no connection whatsoever, seemingly. What connection is there between this Mizmor and Chanukah? You're right. The first pasuk, as you indicate correctly, but the fact of the matter is that overall, we don't understand the connection to Chanukah. And secondly, even the connection to David HaMelech is not so clear. Okay, so now let's look at the Mizmor, and you notice in front of you, you have three sheets of paper. And generally, the reason why I gave you three sheets of paper, two of them, the one that has the printed text, notice it's divided into two. And basically, what am I trying to do, as is my wont, by now you probably get my general gist, and that is, I'm trying to divide the Mizmor into its component parts. So here, on this page with the printed text, the Mizmor is divided, there are two possibilities of dividing the Mizmor. And you'll explain to me why I divided it that way. And then, in my written handwriting, I divided it a third way. So there are three possible ways of dividing the Mizmor. And the reason why it's important to divide the Mizmor, as you undoubtedly have intuited or divined by this point in time, because if you divide the Mizmor, you get a better sense of thematically what's going on over here. That's what I always try to do when I examine Mizmor and Tehillim. But let's just first look at the nuts and bolts of the Mizmor. Let's just translate the words. Maybe that would be helpful too. So this way we'll have a better sense. And then after that we'll look at the structure of the Mizmor and then try to get a better handle overall of the Mizmor. Mizmor begins, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. It sounds like we're about to engage in Shir. What is Shir, of course? Song. Aromim Hashem Kidi Lisoni V'Losin Machtoi V'Li. And that obviously, certainly, automatically reminds one at the very beginning the language of Aromimcha. As a matter of fact, what I've always noticed is something very fascinating. This always reminds me of Hallel. Since we said it this morning, I'm reminded of it right away. The word Aromimcha, which is Pasuk Beis, and then the last Pasuk Yud Gimel has an N, the last word. The word is Odeka. Aromimcha and Odeka. Anyone remember this from the Hallel? Keliata V'Odeka Elokai Aromimcha. So I'm automatically reminded of Hallel. So the sense that one has is that one is being thrust into the vortex of a shir, of a mizmor, of Hallel, and certainly Pasuk Beis would reflect that. By the way, you notice that in both schemata number one on top and schemata number two below, I placed the first Pasuk separately. Why is that? Because it's a hakdama. It's a kind of preamble to the mizmor. The word that begins mizmor shir chanukah sabayis l'david, so that's a hakdama to the entire mizmor. And secondly, on the bottom as well, the same thing. Now let's go continue on the upper part. Aramucha Hashem ki dilisani v'losin machta oy vayli. I assume that you know what the word dilisani means. It's not an easy word to translate, but Farshim actually spent a lot of time trying to translate that word. How would you translate the word dilisani? Anyone familiar with Tanakh, I assume we'll be able to translate it without too much difficulty. For the word dolo, dolo lanu, by Yashke Satzon. Do you remember that language? I'm sorry? You're right. That is correct. Excellent. But is that what it means in this context? How would you translate it in the context that we find it over here in this Mizmor? It says, Aramcha Hashem ki dilisani. But translate the entire phrase, Michael. Aramcha Hashem, I elevate Hashem, ki dilisani.
Because we are low.
I want you to tell me, you means everyone else here, is Michael correct? Aramcha Hashem ki dilisani v'losi machta oy vayli. Is that the way you would translate the language of dilisani? Or does dilisani refer to what I just told you a moment ago, that there's a pasuk in Shmos with reference to, if you remember, Yisro, when the Moshe Rabbeinu came and saved the daughters of Yisrael from the shepherds. You recall the incident over there? Dalo, dalo, lanu, vayashke satzon. Remember that? The language of dalo, dalo. What does it mean, dalo, dalo, lanu? Which means that, what did he do? What's the translation of dalo, dalo, lanu? What?
Drew the water.
Correct. So the word dalo could either mean to, shall we say, to bring the water up from the depths. But I think Michael is correct, because also you have the language of Dili Sani, which means a person who is low down. That's what Michael suggested. Aramcha Hashem ki Dili Sani, because I was in a low state. And now what has happened? Hashem has elevated me. Translated again, that Hashem did not permit my enemies to what? To basically glory and to somehow see me in my downfall. Hashem did not permit me to somehow undergo a downfall. I continue. Hashem Elokai, this is obviously also seems to be an expression of a positive nature. Shivati Elecha, of course the language of Shabbat refers to a language of what? Of the word Shabbat is a synonym for Tzvila, correct? Shivati Elecha. Shivati refers to Tzvila, Lashon of Za'aka Vatir Pa'ini. And Hashem, what did you do? You obviously healed me. Now the word Refuah, in general, in Tanakh, I assume you're familiar with it from Yirmiyahu probably, like in Perek Yizayin. The Navi Yirmiyahu in Perek Yizayin, he also speaks of Refuah as a kind of Hatzalah. Refuah could also mean from a Machla, person who's sick, God forbid, Hashem heals me. But also, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu over there, Refa'inu Hashem Be'irafe, Hoshieni V'Yivashia. We say it when? In the Shemoneh Esrei. Correct? And in Tachanun, excellent. That's where the Pasuk is taken from, excellent, Jeremy. So we say it in Tachanun, basically the idea of Refuah could either be Refuah from a Machla, or Refuah as a kind of Yeshua, a kind of Atzalah. I continue. Hashem Elisa min Sheol Nafshi. What does Sheol refer to? Sheol, of course, is the netherworld. N-E-T-H-E-R. Netherworld refers to Hades. What's Hades? I'm sorry? Yes, thank you, Adam. You are correct. Hashem Elisa min Sheol Nafshi. Chi yisani miyar dibar. I was headed where? Towards the dungeon area. Bar. And what does Hashem do? Chiyisani. What does Chiyisani mean? Hechiyisani, Chiyisani, Kiyamtani. The language, of course, comes from what? Lahachayos. What does it mean, Lahachayos? Hashem has revived me, kept me alive. So far, it seems pretty on an upbeat note. Would you not say so? I continue. Zamol Hashem Chasidov. That those who are Chasidi Hashem should sing to Hashem. Behodu Lezecha Kotcho. And of course, they should say Hodah to Hashem Yisbarach. Ki, why should they say Hodah to Hashem Yisbarach? Ki rega biyapo. Because Hashem, even when he's angry, his anger, how long does it last? Rega, 1 second. Chayim birtzono. What does Hashem really want? What is he desirous of? He's solely desirous of life, correct? And therefore, that's what Hashem wants. So here you have a contrast between these 2 seconds of the pasuk. Rega biyapo. Chayim betzono. Ba'erev yalin bechi. At nighttime, a person often goes to sleep and he's in a state of stress, of anguish, of anxiety. But in the morning, he wakes up with a boker rina. In the morning, of course, there's a sense of what? Of simcha of rina. So you notice that in both schemata, I have sukkim beis going to vav as one unit. Why would you say it's one unit? Because what is general the tone of this set of sukkim? The tone is an upbeat tone. The tone is a very positive nature. Correct? Here we have an individual who may have been down, as Michael described it, surrounded apparently even by enemies, perhaps in a state of what? Some sickness that somehow surrounded him. And what did Hashem do? Number one, the enemies were not able to engulf him. Number two, he was down. Hashem elevated him. Number three, even though he was, shall we say, near the Sheol and near the Bor, down in the doldrums, down in the depths, but Hashem has elevated him. Notice the language. Aro Mimcha. Elisa. Lo Simachto Yivali. Zamru. Hodu. Rina. There's a sense of joy. Correct? A sense of an upbeat kind of optimistic note that you see actually in this particular Mizmor. But now I continue. Now let's go through Pasuk Zayin Eches. Vani Amarti B'Shalvi. I in my Shalvi. What does Shalvi mean? In my state of Shalva. Correct. In my state of tranquility. Means I feel good. I obviously am the recipient of Hashem's beneficence. I'm the recipient of His chesed, of His largesse. So I feel great. So what did I say? I will never be, shall we say, moved. I will not be, my situation is great. Correct? He feels very content. He feels someone who basically has a position of strength. Hashem is with him. So I, obviously I'm sitting back. How do you put it? Sitting pretty. Is that the expression that you use? Vani amarti b'shalvi, b'alamot yolam, Hashem b'tzoncha, he'amadato lahariyoz. Hashem, in his ratzon, what did he do? He'amadato lahariyoz, which means my har, my mountain, is what? Strong, correct. And now suddenly, there seems to be, if you will, some sort of a shift. he starts upon the echal yisi nivol. What happens when there's zest upon him? At that moment, the person is confounded, nivol instead of behola. And now, ilach Hashem ekrav el Hashem eschanon. I call out to Hashem. I, in effect, engage in tefillos of supplication of tachnunim. Ma betza bidomi. What value is there? Bidomi. In my death. Beridati al shachas. If I go down to where? Once again, shachas is another one of the synonyms for what? For Gehenim, correct. For the downstairs area. For Sheol. Hayotcha ofer agyen amitzecha. Can dust go ahead and say hodot HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shema Hashem echaneini, Hashem eozeli. So what's happened over here? Starting, let's say, at the end of Pasuk Ches, continuing in Tes and Yud and Yud Al, would you say that the tone has changed dramatically? Certainly has. The tone began in the beginning of the Mizmor with an upbeat kind of tone, and now suddenly it seems to be a kind of pessimism, a kind of melancholia. A person's in the doldrums, and he's almost a supplicant, asking Hashem Yisbarach for, shall we say, solace, for nechama, for consolation. Something has happened over here. Shema Hashem Echadini, Pasuk Gidal. Hashem Heyozeli. So that is obviously in stark contrast to the beginning of the Mizmor. And now we continue towards the end. What has Hashem done? Hashem has taken mispidi. What is the language of mispidi? From the language of hesped, correct? Eulogy. Pitachta saki. Vatazreini simcha. What has Hashem done? Pitachta saki, which means, how do you translate? Again, the usually in Ovel, God forbid, Achmanu Litzan, a person who is a mourner, is choger sak. And now what has he done? Pitachta saki, but as veni simcha somehow Hashem has girded my loins with joy. So what have I shown in the frisky matter, basically? That there are several components of the Mizmor. Pasuk Aleph is what again? Pasuk Aleph is Dagdoba. Correct? Is the introduction. Pasuk Beis all the way to Vav describes what kind of a situation? Upi, correct. A situation of a very positive nature. Sukkim Zayin and Ches seem to represent what I call a kind of transition. We seem to be moving. Zayin more or less summarizes Beis through Vav. Zayin says, I'm sitting pretty. Vani Yamati B'Shalvi, Balamo B'Olam. No one's going to change my situation. Everything is great. Everything is upbeat. Everything is wonderful. But then suddenly in Ches, he started to Vanecha. There's a Hester upon him. And as a result of the Hester upon him, my tone changes completely. And where do you see the change in tone? From which took him? Test, and what else? Yud? Yud Aleph? Because those are all... Not no longer do we have the language of what? Of Mizmar, of Shir, of Simcha, of Aramimcha, of Rina. But rather, what language do we have now in the Sukkim starting from the end of Ches all the way through Yud Beis? Take a look at the language. It's a language of what? Of Tfilah mitoch ma? Mitoch tzar. Tfilah mitoch mitzuka. Tfilah as a result of what? Of stress, of anxiety, of anguish. You see what I'm saying? How is that expressed? In what verbs? Eilecha Hashem ekra, v'yel Hashem eschanon, tachanunin. Ekra is also lashon tfilah. What's the point of my dying? Of my going down to Hades? Can offer our sehodot Hashem Yisbarach. Shema Hashem Echaneini. Sounds like someone is what? Pleading with Hashem Yisbarach. Please help me, Hashem Yisbarach. Please listen to my prayers of supplication. Hashem Hei Ozeli, help me. And of course, the end is, basically you have here, if you will, two different matzavim that are being described. One, a matzav of optimism, a matzav of simcha, of joy, of, shall we say, great rhapsodic heights, which of course engenders what? Shir and Mizmar and the like. And then you have a second matzah that's being described, which is a matzah where the person is in the doldrums, where a person is down low, where a person is, shall we say, near a TKO, almost a tactical knockout. Correct? He's in the bar. He's in the doldrums. And so therefore, what does that engender? A reaction of what? Of tefillah, of bakasha, of tachnunim. And now the question is, how is it going to be resolved? And what's the resolution? The last two psukim. The resolution is, Hashem has taken that second matzah of Hesved, and what has he turned it into? Machol. What's machol? Dancing. Pitachta saki, batazveni simcha. And therefore, once again, if you will, there's a connection between the end and the very beginning. It began with a high, and how does it end with? It ends with a high as well. But in the middle, we seem to have some, how shall we call it, we seem to have some tension because the situation has somewhat altered, has been transformed. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I just mentioned. The second schemata in the bottom really describes that. In the second schemata, what I'm trying to show you over here is the change that occurred. You see, base through above is the high, and now suddenly Zion represents what I consider to be the epicenter, or the transition sentence, the transition pasuk that creates a shift from the high to the low, which is next. Ches to your base. But finally it ends, how is it resolved? It's resolved, Baruch Hashem, on a positive note. And that's why the arrow, notice the two arrows comparing which two psukim? Yud Gimel to Beis. When I said before, Aromimcha and Odeka. You see what I'm saying? This is the general structure of the Mizmor. The first schemata is a more specific structure, which more or less defines, demarcates the two different segments. It means you have the Agdama, the upbeat segment, and then the, shall we say, the middle, and then the low beat segment, and finally the resolution, and that's what you see in the bottom as well. Yeah? Excellent. That might very well be a connection to Hanukkah. Excellent. Because you do have that. There's no question that the Yom Tov of Hanukkah certainly had moments of, shall we say, great anxiety. If you ever read Sefer Maccabim, if you ever read the gallant exploits, the swashbuckling exploits of Yehuda Maccabi with the elephants and what have you, are you familiar with that? You're probably familiar with it. See, they're busy learning Shem Shmaitzes, so therefore they have no time for Maccabim. But yeah, I imagine you probably came across the swashbuckling exploits of the Maccabim. No? Don't they have them in the all these laminated comic strips and what have you? I don't know if you remember, many years ago there was a paper, I don't know if it still exists, called the Jewish Press in the United States. Are you from the Hillel? You know what I'm talking about? What? I missed that. What'd you say?
It's doing well. It's
doing well, Baruch Hashem. So in the middle of the Jewish Press...
I think you defined well.
Yosef, what's happening to you? So in the middle of the Jewish Press, I don't know if you remember, in the beginning you have news, and there's, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen the paper in years, but in the middle you have cartoons. Am I wrong? You have cartoons in the middle, which of course are also to read on Shabbos. It's against the Mechaber, it's against the Gemara. So I assume people don't read that middle section on Shabbos, because the Mechaber Paskins, the Ksava Mahala Techas Atzura, if I have, let's say, historical events that are described with in a picture form, illuminated, it's also to read it on Shabbos. If you're familiar with the Gemara, it's a Mechaber. I'll show it to you if you don't trust me. So, Ksava Mahala Techas Atzura, also the grace of Shabbos. And then at the end, or in the middle, they have also editorials and the Retorah. It's actually a very nice paper, the Jewish Press. And we used to read it, actually, pretty religiously many, many years ago when we lived in the United States of America. I lived in the United States of America. I don't know if you're aware of it. Probably you're not aware. Are you aware that there are Jews outside Muncie? There are Jews who live in New York City. Did you ever go to New York City? Even though it's true, it says in the... I have a chaver, and he also, his benching, it says, Uvnei Muncie, Yir HaKodesh, Meher of Yomeinu. Somehow he doesn't have Yerushalayim there. But whatever the case is, so the reason why I mention that, because I assume you read the Maccabim. They used to have the exploits of the Maccabees in the middle of the Jewish Press. Among the many serialized cartoon comic strips, they had also the Maccabees. If you don't have Maccabee with the elephants, that's how I know about it. Yes, how do you think I know about these things? I also read Sefer HaMaccabim, but aside from that, I primarily know it from the Jewish Press, swashbuckling exploits. Okay, now that I said all that, I want to now be a bit more precise, and I want you to tell me, and this I think you'll be able to after this introduction, when you take a look at the Mizmor, how many situations are described here in the Mizmor? How many different types of situations do you see in the Mizmor? There are different matzavim, matzavei ruach. I'll tell you what I mean. Let's start with, let's say, I'm going to skip around a little bit, but you have it in front of you, so you can just follow what I'm saying. Here's my sheet. Here it is. You have, for example, a Pasuk Zayin. What situation is described there? The matzav is one of shalva, that you just translated before. What does shalva mean? Tranquility. Everything is halikar. Everything is calm and peaceful, a very bucolic kind of atmosphere. Everything is b'shalom, b'shalva. Fine. That's in Pasuk Zayin. What about Pasuk Ches? Pasuk Ches already has a description of what? The end of Pasuk Ches. How do we describe it before? Hester Panim. What's Hester Panim? Hester Panim is not a good thing. Someone asked this week on Sunday, and I actually responded, if you remember, why were Adam and Chava and the Nachash given individual punishments? It was sufficient for them to have been driven out of Gan Eden. I mentioned that being driven out of Gan Eden is the greatest Hester Panim imaginable. Hashem, the Shekhinah, dwells in Gan Eden. They're being driven out of Gan Eden. There can be no greater punishment than Hester Panim. How do you know that, by the way? I mentioned a raya from Kayin. When Kayin said, Godol Avoni Minso, Hen Gerashtel Siayom Yalpnei Adoma, Miponecho Esoser. That you see that he defines what's Hester Panim, Gerashtel Siayom Yalpnei Adoma. Ramban there on the spot sees a kind of vidui in the words of Kayin. But Hester Panim is a terrible, terrible punishment. We know that from Chumash, both in Vayelech and in Hazino. The Torah describes that kind of Hester Panim. And Hester Panim is a dreadful, dreaded kind of punishment that a Jew will no longer be in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. So here we have that matzav as well. So far we have matzav number one of Shalva, and then a matzav of Hester Panim. What about, shall we say, let's turn to another pasuk, namely, would you say that this person, whomever it is, found himself in danger of death? The answer, of course, is certainly yes. How do we know that? We see that from the different uses of which term that you mentioned before, namely the different uses of Sheol. There are three different terms used here to describe, shall we say, Hades, as I keep calling it. One is Sheol, two is Pasuk Dalid, Bor, three is Shachas, that's found in which Pasuk? Yud, thank you. So we have at least three, shall we say, different terminologies that describe Sheol. Beyond that, does this person here, whomever it may be, even assuming it's David HaMelech, are there enemies around? The answer is yes. How do we see that on which pasuk? Pasuk Beis. Below Simachta Oyvayli. Somehow the enemies wanted to gloat over us. They wanted to not just conquer us, but to basically, you know, when you have someone on the ground and you just rub his head into the ground, so to speak. I'm not sure exactly if they still do these things. When I grew up in New York, that's what we used to do. To people who, shall we say, were not very polite with us, and so we simply had to Adam, you don't have such people in Chicago, but in New York City where I grew up in the jungles of New York, so I had to go sometimes and interact and confront people, and it was not always very pleasant, but after we pulverized them, then we simply rubbed their head into the ground just to for the finishing touches, the makana patish. Anyway, so the you have another matzav of a sakana of death, a sakana of mavis. But beyond that, there's something else here which I also thought you would shall we say turn on to, namely, you have a language of Behola. What does Behola refer to? Where is that found? Hayisi Nivol in the end of Pasuk Ches. What does Nivol mean? Behola refers to not so much physical Behola, but rather psychological Behola. What does psychological Behola mean? A person is confounded. A person is absolutely psychologically discombobulated. You don't know exactly whether you're coming or going. And by the way, as a result of that, we also have a description of Avelos here. Where do you see the element of Avelos? For the word suck. Or the word hespen, correct? And you also have here a matzav where a person is involved in tefillah. But you have very, very different matzavim that are described, different situations that are taking place over here, and all of it seems to take place in a very short period of time. How do I know that? That everything is in a very short period of time because of what pasuk? Vav. Ki rega biyapo, chayim bitzono, ba'erav yolin bechi, v'labokirina. Things change suddenly. Things are transformed almost overnight, whether it's from Bechi to Rina, or whether it's anger, Kirega Biapo, Chayim Bitzonu, and Pasuk Vav. So it's an incredible tefillah. And also you have here elements of Hodah. You know what bothers me about this Mizmor? I don't exactly understand the Mefarshim have a field day. Matter of fact, if you look at one of the sheets I gave you, I think it's the one that has the Radak and the like, what in heaven's name is this Mizmor talking about? It seems to be talking about a guy who either is sick, a guy who is surrounded by enemies, a guy who is, shall we say, singing and dancing and cavorting about, a guy who is Bavelus, a guy who is crying to Hashem Yisbarach, a guy who is singing. There are all kinds of matzavim. And you know what bothers me? If I were to have written this Mizmor, which of course no one asked me to do, I would have written it, but to Abba Suderet, I would have written it in an organized kind of way. Generally, how should the Mizmor have been written? It should have been written in the following way. Namely, let's say, where is the Mizmor again? I would have started with, shall we say, Pasuk Zayin. Because it's always that way. First, in the beginning, everything is great. correct? Everything is hatsi tatsi, everything is wonderful, everything is hunky dory, and then I would go to Pasuk Ches, Hashem Bitzonchem, Adatel Harayos, and then the Pasuk Dalid, Hashem Elisim Shol Nafshechi Sanam Yardivar, and then the Pasuk Ches, again, as I just described, the Behola, means something, there's a change. And once the change occurs, then I would go to Yud Alf Yud Beis, Sak Vaifer, that a person is wearing sackcloth. But should, you hear what I'm saying? There should have been a conceptual kind of order, and then after that, Pasuk Gimel, I pray to Hashem, Shivati Allahav Tibayini, and all the Tachnunim should come. Because why did the author of the Mizmor not present it in what kind of a way? In an organized, systematic... You hear what I'm asking, Adam? That's how it should have been presented. Instead, it all seems to be, everything is, how should we say, interspersed. You understand what I'm saying? It does not trouble you? Of course it troubles you. It should trouble you. So now take a look. We don't know what the Mizmor is talking about. Look at the Radak in the last, in this page here. Yeah.
I don't understand the question. I mean, we're starting off with upbeat, and then there's a dramatic change to...
That is true in the overall scheme and structure. You are right, Ari, what you said, and I agree with you. However, I'm now becoming, shall we say, in a more pinpointing kind of way, I want to show you there are different situations that are being described here. The person was sick, the person was surrounded by enemies, the person was singing and dancing, the person is Bavelos, the person is being misfiled to Hashem is Barach, the person is psychologically in a low state, the person is in a very high state. Why is it all sort of mixed up in a jumble over here?
So maybe it's just that even when we're in a good state of life, we're still going to have a problem.
Okay, I'm going to come to that in a few moments. I'm headed in that direction. But it's a question that troubled me for many, many years. Look at the bottom of the Radak in Tehillim. You see that? Radak says in Tehillim, Mizvah Shechanegus Havayis of David, Chibro David. David is the author of this parak of Tehillim. Shiamu B'chanugas Beis HaMikdash. Shemiseh B'chanugas Beis HaMikdash. Ni'avu B'she'im B'zeh HaMizmor Zecher Habayis. Even though there's no... absolutely no reference to what? To the Beis HaMikdash. Hiskibo Slichas Pshov. He asks Hashem to forgive him for his sins. Shal Yuchoshim Oiva, that his enemies thought, Shal Tiskayim Lo Amalucha Ulzar Achrav. Lo Neshal Sa'obam. They thought that the Malchus of David, which of course is one of the Yisodos of our faith, that what? The Malchus Beis David is going to remain eternally. Lo Netzach. You aware of that? It's one of the Yisodi Adas. But somehow they thought that no, he will not be zochet to that eternity because of that sin. What sin are we referring to? Well, he says that sin. The sin with Bathsheba, of course. Even though the Navi told him, the beginning of Malachim Aleph, that his son is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, a child born of that union. He's going to be a melech. Remember Adon Yom HaChagis? When he rebelled, the Sov Yom HaBaratz Olimelech Me'atzvah Below Rishus, how you swore they thought Shlomo would not be the king. The came and share, since he was successful, Ki'akoshim Adoni Ala Omdu B'Meredom U'Baruch Rishli Olam, he cured Kol Yisrael. People recognized that the Malchus, in effect, belongs to David, and that's why it's continuing with Shlomo. And I continue at the end. This is a sign that Hashem was mochelim for that particular sin, and that's why Shlomo was able to build a Beis HaMikdash, and that's how he interprets the entire Mizmor. He tried to connect it to what happened with David, and that Hashem Yisbarach forgave David for that sin of Bathsheba, and the child that was born, despite the fact that the child was born from that union, quote unquote, and yet that child becomes the Melech Yisrael and the one who builds the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Radak sees the connection between the Mizmor. But I want to just focus on what Ari mentioned, and I think what you said actually is a very significant point. I also want to disabuse you of the following thinking. Some people somehow assume that when something, or when someone is behitrak shut, when someone is very, shall we say, emotionally high, so they are in a turmoil, everything is topsy-turvy, and all kinds of thoughts come together, and that's how David HaMelech wrote this particular parakat Tehillim. Definitely not the case, because David HaMelech was, if you study Tehillim carefully, you'll see how mesudah he was, how organized he was, incredibly so. Everything is done with a systematic, evolutionary kind of development. To me, it's mind-boggling. I've studied now many, many prakim of Tehillim, and I see incredible systematization on the part of David HaMelech. So therefore, I want, and then I can show you actually in many prakim of Tehillim, but I don't have no time to do it right now, but I wrote down for myself here a number of Prokem Tehillim where I see a very systematic kind of presentation. I'll just give you, if you will, a parak that we just said this morning. That's why I wrote it down for myself. Ahavti ki yishma Hashem b'skoli, which means, remember that Kufta Zayin in Tehillim. I love you, Hashem, because you listen to my voice. It means I pray to Hashem, and Hashem listened to my prayer. And then, in the middle there, afafuni chali mava, somehow the mood changes. I'm surrounded by death. So what does a Jew do when he's in a tzara? On Hashem, malta nafshi. You pray to Hashem. And what happens at the end? At the end, of course, they live happily ever after. That's exactly the way, not just Tehillim, but Tanakh in general, runs in a very systematic kind of way. So here, you don't have that seemingly kind of, even though what you said, Ari, is correct, and I try to point out the overall schemata, but the specific events that the Mizmah seems to be talking about, we don't seem to get that impression that it's written in an organized kind of way. But I believe that what Ari said before is actually the son of the Mizmah. And I want just to describe it a little bit, and that is the following. I think the key pasuk is the one in the middle, namely, Vani Amarti Bishalvi Balamot Yolam. And that's why I translated before as, I am sitting pretty. And Kanireh, this kind of, how shall I say, approach, or this kind of attitude, seems to be problematic. Why is that? Because a person somehow sits back, sees what Hashem has done for him, and he comes to a certain kind of maskana. What's the maskana? Maskana is everything is outstanding. Everything is great. This is going to continue. No question that everything is, I'm going to be on a very positive kind of course, and almost as if nothing can change. You're probably aware, one of the Mizvarim at Tehillim that we haven't examined until yet, is Tzadik Aleph. It's called Shir Shel Pegayim. Anyone know what that is? Which one that is? The Gemara calls it that. We say it on Shabbos morning. Shir Shel Pegayim. Anyone remember which one I'm referring to? Maybe you'll look it up and you'll tell me. Okay? Because it's a very important Mizmar. It's a shir full of different types of Pegayim that can affect the person, different situations. And here also, I think that one of the messages that's inherent, embedded in this particular Mizmar is the following idea. A person somehow assumes that this sense of shalva is going to continue forever. And this is, if you will, in one respect, a bit foolish. This, in one respect, is something which is unrealistic, that a person who opens up his eyes knows that the world is full of sakanos. The world is full of dangers. The world is not only full of dangers, but things can change literally in a split second. Overnight, the person's matzav, which he thought may have been ideal, can become, Rahman al-Islam, not ideal, even in terms of people losing their jobs in the latest economic upheaval that we had in the last year or two, and many other kind of situations. There was someone in my shul who, unfortunately and tragically, several years ago was involved in a terrible, terrible accident. He almost died as a result of a car accident, and unfortunately, both of his legs had to be amputated. He was unconscious for several months, and he's still, unfortunately, not in a great state. And he emerged through Nisen Guyen without two legs. And that tragedy happened overnight. He was a person who was Mali Simcha and Mali Chayim, and with wonderful children and family. And one event in a short period of time completely transformed his life into something which is markedly different than whatever he had before. So here, a person who recognizes that should realize that even though Vani Amati Bishavdi Balamot Yolam, there's no question that a person has to thank Hashem for every single second that I can breathe, for every single second that I can function, for every single moment that I can eat properly, for every single moment that I am functioning, that basically, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to interact with people, I'm able to learn Torah, I'm able to do mitzvahs. A person doesn't realize the extent of that bracha. And sometimes even one small, slight, jarring kind of movement can totally turn a person upside down and make him recognize, shall we say, how significant it is for him to appreciate to Makitov HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single second. So I believe that that's exactly what the Mizmar is trying to get at. And I think that's what Ari is saying, if I can interpret what your message is, and I think the message is a correct one. Namely, something happened over here. The guy thought that he was, as I said, sitting pretty, sitting on top of the world. That kind of an attitude, there's an element of what? Of gaiva. An element of arrogance in that kind of an attitude. Why? Because the person somehow, and even one may even get the impression that Vani Amati Bishalvi, Vani, Bal Emo De Olam. That is an incorrect kind of approach. The approach has to be completely and totally one of who is the individual who is sustaining me every moment, every second, literally. Not without that individual, I have no schus kiyum, I have no ability to survive, I have no ability to function, no ability to weather any situation. And the answer is Hashem is Barach. And that's a pasuk, actually. Va'boteach b'Hashem chesed yisov v'venu amen. The person who's bitachon is only in Hashem is Barach, constantly, 24/7, without hesech hadas. That a person will be surrounded by chesed. And that, I believe, is one of the main messages of this mizmor. If you look back in the mizmor now again, and I think Ari is the one who said it very beautifully. So even though I agree with you that there is a seder here, there's no question there's a seder. But the key pasuk, that's why on the bottom, that's where I put it. I thought that I can't be touched. And that's an error. And that's why the recognition has to be Hashem birtzoncha he'amanatel ariyos, you, Hashem Yisbarach. It's all you. Histarta v'necha yisi nivol, elach Hashem ekra, el Hashem eschanon, shma Hashem chaneni, Hashem heyozeli. There's a transformation here that has taken place. In the beginning, it was a sense of, yes, upbeat, but upbeat, shall we say, zemer, unquestionably, shira, unquestionably, hodaya, unquestionably, but v'ani amadi b'shalvi, it's me. Almost as if there's an element here of kochiv yaitzim yodi, also the sahail is that people are very successful in business. What do they think? Why are they successful? Because they're very smart. Because they're big bali kishrim. Because they're people who know the malacha, who know what they're doing, not operating the world. And often that's true. I can't say that business people, successful business people, not a function of their, shall we say, of their intellectual acuity. No doubt about it. However, a person has to recognize that that's not the case. It's all Hashem is Bach. From the very beginning all the way to the very end. There's not one, even, not one whit of belief, of emunah, in myself. It's not me. That's a concept. That's what I see in this mizmor. One of the many messages I see in this mizmor is that message. It's a very important message. And that's why I believe there's a shift that takes place. If you look at the upper schemata, the first series of psukim is very upbeat, but there's a problem, because Vani Amati Bishalvi Balamot Yodam. Till a person realizes and recognizes it is not me, I am not responsible for anything. It is purely Hashem is Barach, only Baruch Shalom. He's the one. He's the one who's the driver. He's the one who orchestrates everything. He's the one who's responsible for any success and hatzlacha that I have. And once a person recognizes that, then that which was Aromimcha Hashem ki dilisoni becomes again at the end. Namayin zemecha chavov lo yidom non-stop zemer Hashem elokai le'olam odeka. And that, by the way, is the distinction between the beginning and the end. The end already says, Kavol below Yidom, no end to the praise and Shevach, I'll say to Hashem Yisbarach, Liyolam Odeka, eternally I'm going to be molded to Hashem Yisbarach. And it's basically, this is a transformation, a metamorphosis from a person who unquestionably recognizes Hashem and Hashem's accomplishments and Hashem's involvement in his life, but there's still a sense of Vani Amadi Vishalvi. And that sense has to be completely eliminated. Any even, shall we say, even a very small element of gaiva has to be emasculated. There's no room for gaiva, no room for anib bichlal. It's completely and totally 100% Hashem Yisbarach, who directs traffic and who operates and who's behind the scenes and in front of the scenes and on top and on the bottom. And once I recognize that, then I can really say and sing the praise of Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem Elokai, the Olam HaDekah. Okay.